Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Mishna Wolf, the screenwriter of the brand new horror comedy, Werewolves Within. And I have questions, and hopefully you can answer them, because this movie was just delightfully goofy from beginning to end. How are you today?
I'm good.
So I found out after the fact that this was actually based on a video game. How do you adapt a video game into a movie?
Well, I think very irreverently is the answer on this one. This was a game that was very pared down. It's sort of set in a medieval town, and you go in and you're ferreting out who the werewolf is among your friends. And, you know, the feeling I wanted to bring to the movie was basically the feeling of sort of being around that fireplace and not knowing who the werewolf is, and everyone just sort of making their deductions, not based on good information, not rational, just total balls to the wall, private justice style, and really, you know, coming to their own conclusions based on their own bias and petty resentments. So, and I think that's what I saw from the game and when I played it, and that's the feel I wanted to bring to the movie. And I think the essence of the game is really there in those scenes at the Beaver filled in.
It's a lot like Clue with werewolves.
Clue with werewolves, yes.
So what?
Who's done it with teeth?
Oh my goodness. And the teeth were so well done. So well done. And what was the driving force bringing it to a more modern setting with all of our modern world's petty bickering and reliance on technology, which actually helped amp up the tensions?
Well, I know if I lost my cell phone signal, I would be freaked out too. I think that a huge part of it for me was, you know, it's like I love really fun popcorn fare, but a lot of the movies that inspired this movie weren't really about anything. They were just really fun movies like Clue and The Thing. I mean, they were about something, but I think there were a lot of really fun modern themes to bring to the horror genre and the sort of whodunit genre that were really relevant for the times we're living in. And Finn Wheeler was, to me, the perfect character to do that with. I sort of, when I was envisioning him, he's someone who wants to connect other people and really believes in our common humanity and that we owe each other something. So I really wanted to bring that point of view to a character, and also someone who's totally afraid of conflict in this really heated, angry, tense, conflicted, you know, violent situation. You know, the whole thing's just a setup to torture Finn, pretty much.
Now, how did you approach the comedic touch? Because there's a lot of just subtle eye rolls going on all over the place where you're like, really? You're going to go there? Okay. And it's funny. It's humorous because Finn's attempts to just see the best in everyone, even when they're being their most awful to everyone around them, is genuinely different. And it actually makes the absurd moments funnier.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that is just Sam Richardson being an incredible comedic actor. His facial expressions are priceless. So are Milana Weintraub's facial expressions in this movie. She has some really awesome moments. And I think, you know, the comedy, I was a comedian for 10 years. I did stand up, and, you know, the director comes from the comedy improv world. A lot of the actors come from the comedy improv world. So it was just a really nice group of comedic people, just sort of collaborating and trying to make this the funniest movie it could be.
So was it easy to get everybody on the same page with the level of comedy they wanted in the movie?
I think so. I mean, during drafts of it, I think my first draft was super comedic. My second draft, I pared back some of the comedy so that the first act was a little tenser. It had more of those tense moments. And then comedy was sort of added back in. And then the actors brought their own amount of comedy. The director brought his comedy. So by the time it's done, you know, everyone's sort of gotten their fingerprints on it. And you know, the result is something that I think is really a fun, funny movie that's, you know, about, you know, some really recognizable modern themes like masculinity and sort of community and what we owe each other as people and really, you know, movie that feels really relevant to the era we're living in today.
It seems to me like the engine that drives tight-knit communities isn't camaraderie, it's gossip.
I think you may be right. You know, we all like to think we're a little bit above gossip, but nobody really is. And you know, gossip is actually the walls that keep us all in line in some way.
In medieval times, they used to post the gossip up on the wall outside the church so everyone would see what's going on with who. So yeah, I think we're kind of addicted to gossip, and using it to play sleight of hand, misdirection games with people's minds when there's a werewolf eating everybody was just an interesting turn there. So were you able to be on set while this was filming and needing to adjust things on the fly, or was that already in progress?
No, I think everything was pretty set by the time the movie was shooting. I came to set just as a, you know, fun meet the actors day for myself, but I was not needed. It was well in hand by the time I got to set. So I felt from the time we cast it that, you know, I mean, even without a script, these actors could have muddled their way through and probably come up with a totally different, but no less great movie.
So what types of horror movies entertain you the most?
You know, I like a lot of things. I like the Saw movies. I really, you know, the Evil Dead movies were really sort of a watershed for me. They're so frenetic. The pacing, particularly on Evil Dead 2, you know, and the character of Ash is an unforgettable character. I always like these big, memorable characters. John Carpenter films for sure, Halloween, They Live, The Thing, The Fog, and you know, too many others to name. Drag Me Back to Hell, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead. You know, I guess like seminal works. I mean, I think my dad dated a woman when I was really young who first brought horror pictures into my home, and I remember she didn't particularly care for kids, but she loved horror movies. And I remember her sitting me down for The Exorcist and telling me it was less scary and more classic. And I must have been like 6 or 7 years old and just, you know, peeking out from behind the couch. But, you know, when you survive a horror film, you do feel somehow stronger.
As someone who saw Jaws in the theater at age 10, I feel ya.
Yeah.
So what are you working on next? Because right now I feel like I want to see a whole series of Finn shining his goodness and light, going from town to town and finding a different monster to deal with in each one.
God willing, knock on wood, that sounds amazing. And certainly I'm fully open to a sequel. I have a few things I'm working on. You know, I don't like to jinx things. It's so hard to thread the needle and get a movie made. I'm just really enjoying having this one made and writing my little projects that I'm working on now. But, you know, hopefully you'll see a lot more screenplays with my name on it.
Is there anything in progress you can talk about or something you're working on that you're really excited about?
No, but, you know, everything I'm working on has a comedic bent to it and, you know, a more than a little action.
Any ventures into comedy, sci-fi, or more comedy?
You know, I
art?
Love sci-fi. I was one of the founding members of the Sci-Fi and Gaming Association at my high school. So I love sci-fi. I would love to take my hand at a sci-fi movie. You know, I definitely have some sci-fi ideas if I meet the right executive, but I don't have any sci-fi on my plate right now.
Cool. I would like to see a comedic take on a D&D game that goes wrong.
That sounds great. Like just a campaign gone wrong. It could be a lot of different games, actually. I hear you. That would be amazing. There are a lot of D&D projects in the works. I keep hearing about different ones, and it's definitely, we're going to see the D&D movie. I'm sure of it. I may not be the person who gets to do it, but.
I'm still waiting for a good one because the one that came out before damaged my psyche because I watched it to its entirety. It was not funny. The only redeemable part of that movie was Jeremy Irons chewing every bit of scenery in the place and doing it so well. Everything else was trash. So where can people find you online to keep up with whatever you are working on next? And, you know, I will put it out there to the universe. We need a sequel with Finn.
Thank you. I would love a sequel with Finn. They can find me at missionofwolf.com with two Fs, M-I-S-H-N-A. Or on Instagram at coffee and wolf with two Fs again.
Cool. So what have you heard from other people who have already seen this movie that gives you joy? Any appreciation that has excited you about the reception of this movie?
I think that this movie's been well received by people that love movies, just like in that joyful, gleeful kind of young place where it's like, oh, I just want to go into a dark room and watch a movie. Like this comes from a very childlike place for me in my love for movies. And I think for the director, it's the same. This is the movie I would have written for myself. And so hearing other people who just really love movies, having such a good time with this movie, it thrills me. And also to hear that they didn't know who did it, you know, that I surprised them here, I surprised them there. That makes me feel really great. You know, I like to upend expectations in my writing, and it's a real thrill when I succeed.
Well, you definitely, in my book, hit it out of the park with this one. The movie is Werewolves Within from IFC Midnight. And our intrepid screenwriter, Mishna Wolf, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hey, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is director Josh Rubin, who has helped create one of the most sublimely ridiculous films I've seen in a long time, Werewolves Within, out June 25th.
That's right, June 25th and VOD on July 2nd.
There we go. And this movie is a lot of fun. I didn't realize until after I saw it that it was based on a video game. So tell me, how did you stumble across this script and know that you were the one to get this made?
I opened Mishna's script after the Ubisoft's producing partners, Vanishing Angle, kind of asked me if I'd love to toss my hat in the ring on this film. And it just read like Arachnophobia and Fargo. And I knew I had to toss my hat in the ring. It was just too good. It was too fun. It felt too much like the kind of movies I grew up on.
What was the element that most appealed to you?
It was the fine balance between colorful, irreverent, kind of Coen Brothers-esque characters and horror, and like the sequences of dread. That mix and that permeating dreadful feel, and watching these kind of flawed small town folks and small town newcomers navigate that, it was crazy appealing to me. And it's a big part of my pitch on, again, throwing my hat in the ring, was like, I grew up in a town like that. I grew up in a, predominantly white mountain hamlet town where, newcomers were sort of ogled in a certain way. And it was surrounded by towns that, looked at newcomers even more extremely than, the more liberal town of Woodstock, where I grew up. And I saw it come to life in all of its, colorful glory.
So what was the most fun for you in filming this?
I think just kind of playing with this summer stock of brilliant comedic and dramatic actors. Trusting or building trust with the likes of my friends like Milana Weintraub and George Basil and Rebecca Henderson, but also to prove myself, and successfully so, to Sam Richardson and Wayne Duvall and Glenn Fleshler, Harvey, Cheyenne, to this whole contingent of these like incredible, geniuses, these performers from all walks of life and all walks of the industry.
And what was there in the town, everything being connected, everything happening at night, was there a challenge in getting a shot that you really, really wanted?
Oh, every day. Yeah. Because we were tight on time as it was. The weather wasn't always what we wanted it to be. The snow machine wasn't always working the way we needed it to be. If I wasn't being dragged in one direction to support my actors, it was being dragged in another to kind of answer to how many shots I was going to wrap out a sequence in so that the producers didn't have a heart attack and think I was going to, sponge the precious moments of the day, sort of absentmindedly. It was always challenging. Shooting in the cold is always a challenge. Shooting with multiple actors with different needs is always a challenge, but it's also one that, when you love the movie and you believe in it, you don't really feel the sting of any of it. You just kind of drive through it and play second base coach best you can.
So from your standpoint in getting yet another video game onto the big screen, what was the most, fun part of the getting the special effects together? Because there weren't a whole lot, but all of the sound effects, especially the stuff that was happening off camera, was delightful for me.
Yeah, I mean, everything from the sound design to the creature effects, from working with our Foley artist, Matt Davies, was incredible. And actually see him use, practical elements to create sounds and to create, creature sounds and the sounds of the Beaver Field Inn, the bellows of the this labyrinthine place, that was wonderful. But also work with Constantine Sakaris, our creature designer, and just to sort of say, which was the first time I ever did, and a big wig at that. He's worked on everything you could possibly imagine: Marvel stuff, a He-Man project, animation, alien stuff. I mean, every major creature. And to be able to tell him what was important to me, which was that my actor was able to emote through the prosthetics and through the look, but otherwise just sort of watch him do his thing and just to see you know, his different renderings. I'm so excited to one day, a couple of years down the line, once the film is relatively spoiler free, hopefully, to share some of his work, because it was really, really cool to watch.
I'd like to get a lot of background commentary on the film when it finally hits disc, because just Sam's performance is hilarious.
Yeah.
And just to hear him, to hear the both of you do a commentary together would be, I think, a lot of fun. And having Milana in there too would be a bonus. What were some of the tips or points you were trying to get them to perform on screen? Or what did you even have to go there since they're both comedians?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say there was a whole lot on majority I had to do to sort of guide Milana and Sam. They're just so good. Their homework was done. I mean, that's the case with so much of these actors. A lot of it was sculpting. It was pull it back a little bit or lean in, you know, a bit more here. You know, more suspicious, less suspicious. It's like that Craig Zobel thing about directing Mayor of Easttown. It's like, you know, let's do a suspicious take. Let's do a less suspicious take. That kind of thing came up on occasion. But, you know, most of it for me as a visual director who's, you know, got a comedic heart, it was everything to do with getting the tableau right in composition and then just sort of crafting the most supportive, funniest sculpt for the room and for all the actors to feel supported, while also convincing my producers that I was doing my job right.
So what in a film like this, what do you look forward most to? Pre-production, actual filming, post-production?
Oh man, I mean, it's all still pretty new to me, you know, filmmaking. I love all of it. I think there's something really special about the color session, the sound design, the post-process, being able to like sit in an air-conditioned room with your colleagues and show them on a big screen that this thing is working, or to work through problems when it's not working together and to see how to, you know, alleviate those problems with a simple, you know, tweak of sound design or softening of color or contrasting of color resolution. That's a great feeling. Like the home stretch feeling is great. Although filming is so cathartic as well. I mean, you're on a complete adrenaline rush for the 2 to 4 weeks, you know, you're on it. I guess I love all parts of it, you know, but I'd say that the post-process is wonderful. That home stretch in color and sound where your picture locked and, just seeing it every day and positive that it works for the most part.
When you get done with the flood of promotion for this hilariously ridiculous film, what's mm-hmm. next on your plate?
I don't know. I'd like to take on something in the sci-fi genre, something that leans into a bit more horror, a bit more dread, but also heart. I love movies like Logan and Twister, something that feels like a ride, but also something where, you know, there's a family relationship and some serious stakes. So I'm hoping to maybe level up with that Spielbergian heart, but keep that permeating dread and that kind of horror, best I can, and kind of see where that takes me. But also I'd like to just, you know, take a swing at Darkman. I really love that Sam Raimi horror hero. I think it's time.
Nice. Excellent. Mostly underrated film.
I agree.
So with creating that story full of heart, is that something you'd want to write yourself, or are you just looking for something awesome that somebody else has already written?
You know, it depends. I mean, I thought for sure I'd want to take on, I'd only want to do projects that I wrote, because I that mostly comes from a place of me not wanting to harm someone else's baby, as it were. You know, if I'm writing something, I'm the one who is in charge of effing it up the most. I'd like to solely helm what's next and take on that challenge so that, you know, I only have myself to answer to and just sort of see what that does, you know, take a, and in so doing, in doing so, it's, it would be a major risk. You're truly putting all of yourself out there, but that's not to say that I won't entertain a great script from another writer. Those opportunities are sort of incoming, and there are wonderful writers out there. I would love to work with Mishna Wolf again. She's a total genius, and I'd love to keep that relationship going if she'll have me too. So who knows?
Well, I wish you luck on a future collaboration, because like I said, this one was a lot of fun, very entertaining. The comedy didn't feel forced to me. It felt situational and even more hilarious because of that. And I'm a hard person to get on board with a comedic take on anything. I'm just not a fan of comedy anymore. And this one hit all the right spots.
Oh man, that means the world. Yeah, it's a tough one, you know, not getting caught trying to be funny. Hopefully we can keep doing that, but also keep that kind of horror dread as well, and see if I can keep toeing the line for as long as people want to hear and see my crap.
Great. Well, I also hope you find that sci-fi action drama that you're looking for. Tell my listeners where they can find you online to keep track on your next projects.
That's a great question. You can check out my website, joshsmindhouse.com, J-O-S-H-S, mindhouse.com. Yeah, I'll try and put more stuff up there and update it as I live my crazy life here.
Great. Well, the movie is Werewolves Within, from IFC Films, in theaters on June 25th, on digital and VOD on July 2nd. I don't know when the Blu-ray comes out, but when it does, I truly do hope that there's plenty of commentary from you and some of the cast.
Me too. That would be fun as hell. I sure hope Sam and Milana at least are involved, but I'd love 12 mics for the entire cast.
That'd be awesome. Myself. I am a huge fan of the commentary track, and it is becoming a lost bonus feature, and I don't know what to do with that, because
we had to do it. Brendan Banks and I, my co-producer, my cinematographer on Scare Me, that was like the priority. You know, we got to do that because it's so fun for us film nerds. So I agree with you, Summer.
Well, let's hope that we have a great bunch of commentary tracks on the disc when it finally comes out. Josh Rubin, director of Werewolves Within, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
So you guys know that I'm a little bit more picky about my comedy than most people. So it has to be funny, really, really funny in a good way for me to enjoy it as the comedy it's meant to be. And Werewolves Within does hit all of those marks. The humor is situational, which I prefer to the type of comedy that puts people down, makes fun of people, that sort of thing. And yeah, Werewolves Within is something that I definitely would recommend. You will never, ever see those AT&T commercials starring Milena in the same way ever again. Just hilarious. So, but yeah, check it out if you can. The movie is available now. Well, I should say available in theaters now, and will be available on demand digital on July 2nd. So if you can check it out, I highly recommend it. It's a treat. It really is. So again, go see it. How about you? What do you like in your horror comedies? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or hit me up on Twitter @sliceofscifi. Come on by. Yes, I will engage in conversations because that's what we do. Or come on by the website, sliceofscifi.com. Leave a comment on this episode or any of the other interviews we've done, some of the movie reviews, DVD reviews as well. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. Any review, any rating, all of it shows how much you enjoy listening to the show, engaging on the topics that we cover here. And that engagement raises our profile, helps get this show in front of the ears and eyes of people who might not have heard of us yet, even though we've been around for 16 years. And if you're a member of Podchaser, you can leave us a review there as well. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support our efforts here at the Slice of Sci-Fi universe with Slice of Sci-Fi, Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, A Different Point of View, and a handful of other podcasts still being maintained. Your support, your donations, your pledges help keep these current shows running and the archives of the other shows that people still enjoy to this day online and available for all to enjoy. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support is much appreciated. And for those of you who are helping to support the show, you are eligible for prizes, perks. People who support through pledges through Patreon and people who are still grandfathered into the old PayPal system, which is still operational, you are eligible to get first crack at some of the swag I'm giving away. I can't keep all of it, so all of you supporters and listeners get first dibs. Go to patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier for support, and you'd be eligible. Every month I pick a name out of the hat, or rather an email address, and that person gets to choose from a Blu-ray, a DVD, a 4K, a book, either a finished book or an advanced reader's copy in print. And here's the wacky part. Sometimes people either don't check their emails or they say, you know what, I'm good. And I get to pick another name out of the hat. And so on down the line until somebody says, yes, I will take one of those prizes. Either way, I am happy to spread the love and the wealth. So again, thank you. Thank you all. And if you would prefer to donate every now and then, rather than commit to a monthly pledge or monthly donation, the link you can use is paypal.me/scifisummer. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.